Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to DW's Africa Link program coming to you live from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Jane Ayeko-Kumet. Thank you for joining us live on radio and on our social media, Facebook, that is DW Africa. Here is what we've lined up for you. South Africa's ruling party, the ANC, asked Zuma to resign as head of state. Zuma is expected to respond to the recall later tomorrow. But what do people think?
It would be good for the country and even himself.
Well, he should have been out a long time ago. I've heard from this man. I know his attorney. He's a stubborn man. He doesn't listen to anybody.
Still on South Africa, opposition piles more pressure, this time calling for a snap election and the dissolution of parliament.
Our stay in parliament will mean we are inconsistent and we cannot be relied on.
These are some of the stories we've lined up for you, but first, here is a chance to hear what's been happening around the world.
My name is Jen Nyinge with DW News. Now, South Africa's governing ANC has formally asked President Jacob Zuma to resign following marathon talks by senior party officials. ANC Secretary General S. Magashule told reporters that the National Executive Committee decided Zuma's departure should be treated with urgency. DW's Christine Mungwa tells us when Zuma is expected to react on calls for him to step down.
We are expecting that tomorrow President Jacob Zuma will release a statement confirming that he has indeed received the message from the party that he's been recalled. And we expect from that statement that there will be some kind of an indication as to when he sees it fit to leave office. Right now, the 3 to 6 month sort of time frame has been touted. It's not come out of his own mouth. But I can imagine what's taking place right now is NEC members are pressing him to go sooner rather than later.
The secret confidant of ousted South Korean President Park Geun-hye has been jailed for 20 years for her key role in the scandal that brought down the head of state. Choi Soon-sil was found guilty of abuse of power, extortion and bribery. Still on court matters, a Nigerian court has jailed for 15 years a Boko Haram militant involved in the 2014 kidnapping of more than 270 Chibok girls. Haruna Yahaya is the first member of the group to be sentenced for playing a part in the mass abduction. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. Ukrainian opposition leader Mikhail Saakashvili says he will continue to rally people against the nation's authorities from abroad following his deportation from the country. Saakashvili was deported from Ukraine to Poland. At a news conference in Warsaw today, he described the deportation as having taken place by force and against international laws. From Kiev, DW's Nick Conley with more.
Formal reason for sending him out of the country is his status, his immigration status here in Ukraine. He was stripped of his Ukrainian citizenship by President Poroshenko last year and had to force his way back from Poland into Ukraine. Also, it's important to remember that there are elections in this country next year. And Petro Poroshenko has to deal with a lot of discontent over stagnating living standards. So there is a motivation here to get someone who has shown his ability to bring people out on the streets out of the country if that's possible.
Moving on, German Chancellor Angela Merkel has urged the Ethiopian government to widen the democratic space in the country. In a phone call with her Ethiopian counterpart, Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn, Chancellor Merkel also called upon for release of more political prisoners. And now to your sports, and the last 16 Champions League matches begin today, with a big match being Italian side Juventus playing against Tottenham Hotspurs from England. High-scoring Harry Kane and his Tottenham teammates will be hoping to score past a Juventus defence which has conceded only one goal in its past 16 matches. For more news and information, please visit our website dw.com or our Facebook page DW Africa. My name is Jen Nyinge.
You are listening to Africa Link on DW, broadcasting from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Jane Ayeko-Kumet. We start the program in South Africa. Now, will Zuma go or will he resist the pressure? That's the question puzzling many South Africans as efforts to get President Jacob Zuma out of office have not yielded the much-needed change. After 13 hours of meeting, the ANC ordered Zuma to step down immediately, rejecting his request for 3 months to rethink. The party did not give Zuma any deadline in which he should respond, but they said they expected him to go. Zuma is expected, however, to respond tomorrow. But the ANC national executive remains split on precisely when Zuma should go. DW Subri Govender has been telling me what is going to happen now.
It is clear that Zuma has no other option but to step down if he wants to save his name and save the ANC as well. This is what Ace Makashule said about the removal of Zuma at the media briefing today.
The president of the ANC must become the candidate for the presidency of the country. The collective of the NEC believe that President Cyril Ramaphosa must take over the presidency in terms of our constitution.
Zuma hasn't been found guilty of any crime yet. Why do they want him out now than ever before?
Now, the new Ramaphosa administration want him out because Zuma is seen as a liability and the person who is responsible for the lack of growth in the economy because of Zuma's alleged corruption charges. Ramaphosa believes that once Zuma goes, the international community will reactivate their foreign investments in the country. And because of the political uncertainty, foreign investors, you know, are keeping away. Now, this is causing serious social problems, lack of jobs, inequality, crime escalation, and unemployment is growing at a rapid rate. So it seems that the Ramaphosa administration wants Zuma out so that they can, you know, try to resolve the problems that South Africa is facing at the moment.
Well, that's what the ANC wants. But what about on the side of the people? What have they been saying concerning the developments in the country at the moment?
You know, most South Africans have for some time been tired of Zuma because they believe that he has destroyed the social and economic stability that the country had been enjoying when he took over in 2009. Here are some of the people I spoke to.
It will be good for the country and even himself, but a lot of people, they will be free. I would say you'll have a free country.
The sooner the better. I think he should have gone a long time ago. His policies and principles that he's been doing over the last 5 years, I think, is a disgrace.
Well, he should have been out a long time ago. I've heard from this man. I know his attorney. He's a stubborn man. He doesn't listen to anybody.
He made promises, empty promises, stole money. Now, I just want to know, will he pay back the money that he owes?
The DA, which is the biggest opposition party in the country, says that the only way to get Zuma out of office is by vote of no confidence. How does this fit within the country's constitution?
Well, the constitution allows for a vote of no confidence to be taken against the president. This time around, it seems that the ANC will once again vote against it because they want to get rid of Zuma on their own terms, not through the terms of the opposition.
Subri Govender with that story in South Africa.
As the ANC leadership battle grinds on, opposition parties in South Africa are calling for the dissolution of parliament and early elections within 90 days. The opposition says that parliament, which they are part of, has failed to carry out its constitutional duty of holding the executive accountable, leading to the current debacle in the country. Tuso Kumalo reports from Johannesburg.
The announcement for early elections from the opposition parties has come as a surprise to the ruling party ANC and many people here in South Africa. But for the opposition, it's time Parliament took up its duty of holding the executive accountable. Democratic Alliance Party leader Musi Maimane says once Parliament is dissolved, it would be up to South Africans to elect their new leaders.
Anybody who wants to lead the ANC or wants to lead Parliament or lead the people of South Africa must have a mandate from the people of South Africa. So the only talks of a transition, CIC, should be a transition from the fifth parliament to the sixth parliament.
The opposition is carefully following past events where the Constitutional Court ruled that parliament had failed to hold the executive accountable. First, when Zuma was forced to pay back part of the money used for upgrades to his Inkandla home and also for improper handling of the impeachment process, which saw Zuma walk away scot-free. Economic Freedom Fighters Party leader Julius Malema says, though opposition parties tried all they could to remove Zuma, these judgments against parliament do not exonerate them.
Our stay in parliament will mean we are inconsistent and we cannot be relied on. Because if there is a ruling against Zuma, we say no, the court has ruled against Zuma, he must go. What about us as parliamentarians? Because there is a ruling against us by court.
Should parliament be dissolved, the Speaker of Parliament, who is an ANC member, Baleka Mbete, would take over as acting president for 90 days, during which elections would be held.
Tuso Kumalo reporting from Johannesburg. And of course,
interesting developments in South Africa there. I can imagine the pressure on the politicians and, I mean, the anxiety among the people also. And that has been also exhibited on the responses that we've been getting from social media. So many people commenting.
Yes, Ayeko, first I have to acknowledge all our listeners on Facebook. Wamtalo Ba says, Zuma and his scandal-filled life is a gross distraction to the South African people. It is high time he left. There's also someone on our Facebook Live audio who is listening, Tahiru Gawan, and says, the exit of Zuma is a good step, but he should have been given some days before he leaves.
And Moga Joseph says, at least Zuma can now shower, and he puts it in quotes, at will. God help South Africa. The ANC has long lost direction. They are hiding behind sentimentality.
Yes, Tahiru Gawan is also listening to us live on Facebook, and he's saying very clear audio. So thank you for listening.
And keep those comments coming. We shall read them as and when we can. Here in Germany, the Social Democratic Party, SPD, could for the first time in its 153 years of existence have a female leader following the exit of Martin Schulz. Andrea Nahles, a former Labour minister, is poised to take over at the helm of the party, replacing Schulz, who announced his resignation last Wednesday.
Schulz said his resignation would allow his party to rebrand and reinvent itself. SPD witnessed its worst ever performance, winning only 20% in the last parliamentary election. Sela Oneko has this report.
SPD's Martin Schulz last week announced his intention to step down and pass on his position after party members vote on a new coalition deal with Chancellor Angela Merkel's Conservative Party in March this year. Andrea Nahles now looks to become the next leader of the SPD. She had already been named head of its parliamentary party following last September's national election. Nahles was a German Labour minister from 2013 to 2017. She is known for a blunt and passionate manner, and in January she was instrumental in bringing a divided party around to accepting new coalition talks with a short, fiery speech at the party conference. But she is facing opposition from a new surprise entry, Simone Lange, the Social Democrat mayor of the northern German town of Flensburg. Either way, it will be an all-female race for the SPD top post. The party's executive board and steering committee has been locked in a meeting today to approve the provisional appointment, after which 600 SPD delegates will have to give their approval within 3 months.
Sela Oneko with that report.
It's an interesting world of politics today. I think that the women are taking a lead. Andrea Nahles, the country is led by lady. We had former Liberian president yesterday having gotten that award from Mo Ibrahim. I'm happy with what the ladies are doing.
I think what men can do, women can do better.
Exactly.
That's what they say.
Anyhow, let's go back to our top story. And it's about men, not women this time. The South African story. We still have some comments coming in. Our usual listener, Isaac Godwin, says, I've never seen a president that has been hated so much by his citizens as well as his party members. And all over his neck, he has to relinquish power now.
Yes, we did ask, is it too little too late that ANC has decided to remove Zuma? And Malshinki Shinga says, it's too late because he has already exploited the country enough. It would have been better to expel him earlier and begin to renew the country.
And Shilling says, history repeats itself. Mbeki was recalled and Zuma is also being recalled now. That's all we have time for. We shall read those comments as and when we have more time.
Welcome once again to Africa Link. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Jane Ayeke Kumet. We do welcome your comments on our social media platform. Just go to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and leave your comment there. And like I said, when we can, we will read them. But coming up, from a job seeker to an employer, the Ugandan lady who is changing the face of landscaping, interior and exterior design.
I'll plant for you a spice. When you're cooking, you'll go and get it. You don't need to go to the market. You'll eat from your home. I will plant for you fruits in my landscape. I'll put that tree or flower in the right place where it's supposed to be.
Plus, doing away with carcinogenic pesticides. Did you know that ducks can be used to fight pests in rice farms? Well, we will have that. But first we head to Nigeria, where former President Olusegun Obasanjo may have supported Muhammadu Buhari's bid for presidency, but that does not stop him from speaking out against what he calls mismanagement of the country's affairs. In an exclusive interview with Deutsche Welle, Obasanjo says he does not regret backing Buhari 4 years ago because the country at the time needed change from former president who had brought down the economy due to corruption. But my colleague Adrian Kirsch wanted to know why Obasanjo has made an about turn about Buhari. Take a listen.
It's also a right decision now for all to see that the man who has taken over from Jonathan has not met the expectation of Nigerians. That is what democracy is all about. Democracy is about change if things are not what they should be. And tomorrow, if I take a decision and things have not worked out the way we have expected to work out in a democracy, then you make a change.
But he's lacking seriousness, would you say that, the president? Because he's widely regarded as a man of integrity amongst most Nigerians.
Well, I don't know which Nigerians you are talking about. Maybe Nigerians of 4 years ago. You talk to Nigerians today.
One of the major topics at the moment in Nigeria is the clashes between herdsmen and farmers that are mainly happening in the Middle Belt. You've also criticized the lack of response by the federal government. What do you think is the solution to this problem that we've been seeing again and again coming almost every year?
I believe that we should not use the tradition or culture of 50 years ago to run the affairs of this today. If taking cattle on grazing track, on grazing route, and certified grazing areas were the thing that was practiced in the colonial days, we should now realize that that is out of date. We have to do something that is modern and that also will give dignity to our own people, whether they are crop farmers or herdsmen.
You actually said repeatedly in the past that you're going to pull out of politics. How does that go together now with the new coalition movement?
A movement is a movement. It's not a political organization. I will not stand in the way of that movement. If it decides to become a candidate sponsoring organization.
It's not yet very clear who will be the members.
Well, the thousands of people have.
Thousands of people, but a lot of people who got a lot of attention. Some people have the feeling that it is not a new innovative movement. It appears to them it's old people in new clothes.
If that is what you hear, then you are hearing it wrongly, with all due respect. There are thousands of Nigerians inside Nigeria and outside Nigeria who have never been in politics, who have been members of this movement. It's not an old wine in a new bottle, it's a new wine in a new bottle.
Former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo talking to my colleague Adrian Krish.
Africa on the move.
We all love grain and flowers as they brighten up our day. But what does it take to get that grain pleasant for the eyes? Well, the next story is a tale of a young Ugandan lady living her passion of landscaping, interior and exterior design. Chrissy Ethel Namuno started off in 2014, moving from door to door with a mowing machine, seeking to offer her services to whoever welcomed her request. Today, she owns iconic hedges, the biggest of its kind in Uganda, and has moved from being a job seeker to an employer. Frank Yeager tells us her story.
I enter the home of Sudais Waswa, one of the clients whose compound is being maintained by iconic hedges. He tells me Chrissy Etho Namuno convinced him they can beautify his environment beyond his expectation.
I want to get a compound, as in grass rounded, the whole compound to be with grass, you see green. Probably it's not a big work, but it needs somebody so professional to do. I want flowers around. When you enter the place, the only breeze that hits you is for the grass and the flowers. And they have already showed me what they are going to do, and I'm comfortable with it.
Chrissy takes me around her workplace to show me the different designs she uses for the interior, an exterior art and beauty for her customers. She tells me she has a variety of styles.
When we do a landscape, we always look for a design that matches your home. And with that beauty and arrangement of plants and crops, I will give you a plant that will put on the window that will give you fresh air. Plant a medicinal flower. There are flowers which are edible and they are medicines. So you are benefiting from it, and it's also giving you the beauty you want. I'll plant for you a spice. When you're cooking, you'll go and get it. You don't need to go to the market. You'll eat from your home. I will plant for you fruits in my landscape. I'll put that tree or flower in the right place where it's supposed to be.
In 2007, Iconic Hedges won the award of Best Customer Service, organized by Victoria Mbabali of Backyard Gardeners. She tells me Chrissy Etho Namuno's dedication and passion for beauty for her work has won her admiration.
She's very, very creative. It's not just the exterior of your house, of your garden. She kind of tries to round things up. You can have a beautiful compound, have a little space that's more practical to help sustain your house. Also, she shows you that you can actually even have these things inside your house to the outside very beautifully.
But it hasn't been an easy go, she says.
There are places I used to go to and people would say, but she's too small, she's this and that. She's going to just mess up my work. What will you do for us? And you're a girl. They close their doors. And I'll tell them I can do something.
I met Charles Ochichi, the executive director of Enterprise Uganda. He tells me that many starting businesses collapse due to harsh conditions. But Namuno's zeal is what has made her thrive.
Now, the Namuno story is a story where somebody begins even with a worse situation. You're a female in a sector people feel should be male-dominated. That's a resistance right on your face at the beginning.
If anybody cannot withstand public opinion and you want to get into business, that will be your biggest challenge.
Today, Chrissy Etho Namuno is a role model to many.
I discovered myself along the way. Now I have a company. I have clients that have stayed. It's one thing to have a client that comes to you today, but it's another for them to come back and even refer to you. And it's not only for my benefit, it is helping many. And I believe with time, many people will get out of their comfort zones and come and learn and work.
Frank Yeager compiled that inspirational report. And I can see on our social media platform, Bashir Rashid is complaining that we didn't mention the name. Of course, we did mention the name. You must have heard it also from the report there. The lady is called Chrissy Etho Namuno.
Focus Europe.
The EU recently decided to delay banning the active substance in the Roundup weed killer that the World Health Organization says is probably carcinogenic. But it has banned the use of 250 active chemical pesticide substances over the years, and the authorization to use the popular weed killer Ronsta is due to expire at the end of 2018.
Now, for farmers, alternatives are not always easy to find, and some are quite unexpected. Here is a report from John Laurisson in the Cameroon region of southern France.
Bernard Pujol strides into one of his paddy fields.
The other rice farmers in this watery, windswept part of the country use pesticides. Bernard uses ducks.
Alors l'idée, elle vient du Japon. C'est mon fils aîné qui est tailleur de pierre.
My eldest son went to Japan, and when he came back, he said, "Dad, I saw something brilliant. The Japanese put ducks in their fields to eat the weeds. You have to do this too." So I did some internet research, and I liked what I found. And in 2011, I started sowing my rice so that ducks could navigate between the lines.
In Japan, they have a name for growing rice with ducks, aigamo. It works because the ducks eat the insects and weeds that harm rice plants, but not the plants themselves, too chewy. And the paddling of all those webbed feet aerates the soil while the droppings fertilise it.
Si on écoute bien, on les entend travailler.
If you listen carefully, you can hear the ducks working. Now it's wintertime. We've harvested the rice, and in the earth there's a multitude of seeds. Most of them are weed seeds, and the ones the ducks eat won't grow into weeds next year.
Bon, c'est une variété traditionnelle camarguaise.
Bertrand Mazel, president of the European Rice Growers Union, shows me one of the old local varieties of brown rice they produce here in the Camargue. He admires what Bernard Pujol is doing on his rice farm, but when it comes to applying this practice on a large scale, he's a duck sceptic.
C'est une méthode qui est vraiment très innovante, innovante et très ancienne puisqu'elle était.
It's a method that's innovative and very old. It was practiced during the Middle Ages in Europe. It's labor-intensive, though, as someone has to walk the ducks around the fields. And if it were applied to big rice farms, you'd need tens, even hundreds of thousands of ducks. More generally, going organic is problematic because it means rotating your crops, which means lowering your production. At the moment, world rice production is around 500 million tons per year, and all of that is eaten. If we lower production, people will go hungry.
Back in his paddy field, Bernard Pujol has to deal with another problem. After a year of beaking up weeds and predator insects, the ducks are so fat, they start crushing the plants they're supposed to protect. But this year, he's going to try different ducks. Indian runner ducks stay slimmer and will, Bernard hopes, live long and useful lives in his rice fields.
A report by John Lawrenson.
Well, Jane, today is the World Radio Day, and we did ask our listener, what makes you tune into the airwave in this golden era of Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, etc.? And you said, share your good memories with us. But before we get to read your comments, we have these beautiful audios from Nigeria on what the World Radio Day means to these listeners.
This is Isaac. It was so godly talking to you from Lagos State, the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I want to say it's a fortunate day to actually see this day and to also celebrate the greatness of our radio station due to the impact it has caused. I'll say I'm celebrating this day by constantly listening to radio all throughout the day.
Good day, DW Africa Links. I am Bashiru Mahmud Bode from Nigeria. I am your ardent listener. I am proud of Africa DW Links. We enjoy your series of programs and your lectures.
Thank you to Bashir for commenting Africa Link. That's not all. We also had other comments that were sent in written form. Asong Pascal says, the radio remains my best source of information. It's cheap, doesn't need internet, and you get the news as it breaks because the transmission is faster. No use of images. I've used radio from my birth here in Africa, and I love the radio. Even if you don't have electricity, you just get the radio.
And Abraham from Jalo from Gabi says, I am a big radio fan. DW always keeps me updated on every information surrounding Africa. I love listening live from the radio, only getting in touch through Facebook and Twitter to interact.
Interesting and comments there. I like to read what people are talking about. There's also this one here coming all the way from Gambia. He says, yes, I'm a big radio fan. DW TV, DW Radio always keeps me updated on all the information. That's all we had time for. Thank you for listening to Africa Link. From me, Jane Ayeko Kumet.
And I'm Zipora Nyambura.
Thank you for listening.